This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We got a lot to sift through on this Feel Good Friday. Boomer, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, G. A little tired this morning, you know, as we're doing double duty here. We love that because the NFL draft is just as about as intriguing as it gets. And it started with number three, Trey Lance, and the San Francisco 49ers, and everything coming out of San Francisco is that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch knew exactly who they wanted. They knew exactly that they wanted Trey Lance. Now, once they found out that Aaron Rodgers was unhappy, they also made a bid to the Green Bay Packers to try to get Aaron Rodgers out of there. And that story is just beginning because it all started yesterday and Aaron's being passive aggressive and there's all this weird stuff coming from him. And, you know how he is. He's awkward. He's bright. You know, maybe he will be the host of Jeopardy. I don't know. But it was a really weird thing that happened prior to the draft. All these stories now about Aaron Rodgers and him being unhappy in Green Bay and maybe trying to pull a James Harden to get this somewhere else. Now, after this whole thing is over with, you're saying to yourself, okay, where can he end up now? There's no way that the Packers are going to trade him within the NFC. There's no way if they trade him at all. Gutekunst, their general manager, came out last night and said, no, we're not trading him. And by the way, they took a defensive back at the back end of the draft, I think, with number 29. You know, I still wonder, like, what is Aaron Rodgers all pissed off about?
It's got to be the money. It's got to be the contract.
It has to be 100%
because
the contract.
Because that whole thing about, oh, well, they drafted, and I understand, you draft a quarterback, you trade up, you draft a quarterback last year, it's not going to make Aaron Rodgers
that
happy.
It's not ready to play.
Right, but, no, it's more about the fact that they didn't use that pick on someone that could help him right away. That part I understand, but what I don't understand is, like, let's not act like Aaron Rodgers doesn't have weapons. He's got two of the best tackles in football. He's got Davante Adams. He's got Aaron Jones
on his team, including himself.
That defense was good last year. They go to the NFC title game every friggin' year. Like, that roster is stacked. I don't want to hear about that.
Right, and they're trying to fix their defense, and they have tried over the last 2 years to fix their defense, and it's one of the reasons why they don't have to score 34 points a game to win a game. And by the way, you know, their offense had a chance to win the game last year against Tampa Bay and didn't do it.
Exactly.
And
yep.
They have Robert Tonyan, who's a tight end, who came on to burst onto the scene last year. You know, they have Davante Adams. You know, they have Bakhtiari. They have all pros all over the offense. I don't know. How many more offensive playmakers do you need on your team?
He can't be complaining about
so
that.
So he's got to be. To me, it's all about money. And he's going to say he's 37 this year. He'll turn 38. And, you know, he'll turn 38 in December, I believe. And, you know, he wants like a 5-year, $50 million per year deal is what he wants. And the Packers have always run, and you gotta remember, it's a unique ownership. So they just don't go out there and start blasting money all over the place. They usually stay true to who they are. This is a very low-key group in the front office. They went out and got a new head coach who brought the best out in their quarterback. He just had one of his best years ever. So this is all about a contract, and the fact that, you know, he is like nibbling at the edges of all of this crap. Just come out and say what you want to say. At least James Harden did.
Yeah, I think he did yesterday in his own way, getting all that stuff out there. You know,
just be like,
he did at the end of the year too.
Hey, well, like at the end of the year, again, he was vague and he was saying weird things. You know, I don't know if I'll be there and all this other stuff. Just say what you want to say. You know, you're smart enough to say it. And, you know, this
Well,
whole,
how? You wanted to go on Instagram and say, trade me?
I don't know. You know, so give it to Pat McAfee, your buddy, or give it to Peter King, or give it to somebody.
Well, I think that he did. I mean, really Glazer
say it.
And Schefter and all these
just
guys reported
really
it.
Really say it. They're all like this whole thing. And look, the other thing that these guys got to remember, and I saw Kyler Murray this week giving an interview saying, oh, yeah, I have influence on the draft. No, you don't. And neither does Aaron Rodgers. And neither does Tom Brady. Nobody does. Maybe Tom Brady got Garoppolo traded. Maybe he had that going for him because the owner bent over backwards for him.
But the reason
but
the owner
Belichick
bent, right.
was not going to.
Yeah, the reason the owner bent over backwards is because Tom Brady's the greatest player we've seen. And
but
not
the
being,
owner right. did it, not the coach.
Yeah, of course. I mean, in all the championships and all the success. Now, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is probably saying, okay, Dak Prescott makes more than me. Deshaun Watson makes more than me.
It's timing.
Russell Wilson makes more than me. I make as much as Jared Goff. I won the MVP last year. You got to take care of me. And then I know that there was negotiations going on.
Right. If he were 31 years old, that might be a little bit different. And I know that they did make an offer to him. And, you know, he doesn't like the offer. He wants to be the highest paid guy in the league. You know, so he's playing a game. And he's playing a game with a very, from a player perspective, this is not like a very friendly situation. The Green Bay Packers have never been player friendly in that regard. They'll pay guys, but they're not going to bend over backwards. You know, this is not going to be a Jerry Jones situation where the owner is, you know, or even a Bob Kraft situation where the owner's got his arm around the quarterback. There is no owner like that in Green Bay. The Green Bay Packers are a publicly owned corporation, and they're run by Mark Murphy. And Mark Murphy is a very serious guy, and they all flew out to go see him in L.A., and they all want to tell him, look, we love you. We want you to end your career here. If they traded him, those guys would all be run out of Green Bay. Yeah, you have to remember, you're not trading a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Well, what
that's
if he says I'm not
MVP
coming
season.
Back? Well, I guess what's his leverage? I'm going to retire and be the host of Jeopardy now?
Maybe.
Is
maybe
that his leverage?
I don't know, but I would hate to see that. I would hope that somehow cooler heads would prevail and he would come back and he would play. But, you know, this story will percolate now for the next 6 months before we get to, you know, the season. And it's going to be crazy. Like, what AFC team would be nuts enough to basically give what the Packers would want in return? Maybe
at this
Denver?
Point in his career, man, we got to remember that, too. I mean, he played extremely well last year, and he's got a lot left in the tank, clearly, but he's not going to be around for 10 years.
Just got to remember that Denver also went to the Super Bowl twice with Peyton Manning, who was at the advanced ages of his career. So, and I would say that Aaron Rodgers is far more healthy at this stage than Peyton Manning was at that stage.
It's just amazing to me. It doesn't matter who you are. Now, Aaron Rodgers, the last couple of years, you know, he's so thoughtful. He's so smart. Look at him. He's so well-adjusted. He's in this relationship with Shailene Woodley that they met through their astrologer. He wants to do other things with his life. I mean, look where he is. All of this stuff. But yet, when it comes down to it, he's just another one of these petulant athletes who's not getting paid enough, who's now going to force his way out of the situation that he's in when he's under contract because he didn't get what he wanted. Oh, they drafted a quarterback. Oh, boo-hoo. Shut up. Go out there and play. Win a championship. Stop not you know, meeting expectations, for crying out. You won one Super Bowl. You're one of the best players in the league. You bitch and moan about who's on your roster. You got players all over the place, and then you get your ass kicked in the playoffs every year.
You bitch and moan about your coach.
On.
You bitch and moan about your coach,
that, too.
Too.
So. And he got out of there,
right.
And then this other guy comes in, and there's issues there. It's like, enough already. And this is not just coming from a Vikings fan, because I've got all the respect I do, because I've seen them kick our ass and win titles and all the other things and be the standard bearer in a division, the Green Bay Packers. I've got respect for that organization and that guy. I mean, I wish I had a player like Aaron Rodgers. I wish I had Brett Favre in his prime and he had a great year with the Vikings. I wish I had that. But, I mean, come on already.
But you're
not Tom Brady. You're not even close.
Maybe you and I are the only ones that are actually taking this tack, because most people out there, media people that cover the NFL, all believe that by drafting Jordan Love last year, they just blew up Aaron Rodgers' entire career, and that they should be kowtowing to Aaron Rodgers because he's a great player and they should be listening to him. Like I said, I love Aaron Rodgers. I love him as a player. I love him as a Green Bay Packer. I love him as the host of Jeopardy, for God's sake.
Sure.
And I am like one of his biggest supporters as a fan. I don't know how you cannot be. Especially from somebody who's played the position and knows how he plays it flawlessly and how great he is. And yeah, I do believe he should be paid. But what's going on between him and Green Bay over the last 4 years is really ridiculous. And I think a lot of this happens, like, when they traded Mike McCarthy or got rid of Mike McCarthy and they brought in Gutekunst and they, you know, I think they wanted to put their foot right on the neck of Aaron Rodgers and says, stop acting like this. You know, we're bringing you in a coach. You got good players here. We're going to fix the defense and you're going to have one of the best teams around you later in your career. And we're going to pay you well. So this is just the way it is. I mean, you know, where else is he going to go right now? I know, yeah, he wanted the trade to San Francisco to happen. Of course he did, because San Francisco's got a Super Bowl caliber team.
Yeah.
You know, just like Tom Brady had his ability to go pick his team after it was all said and done up in New England. That's what he wants down in Green Bay. That front office in Green Bay will not do it. They will not budge.
So on the NFL Network broadcast I'm watching last night, I couldn't even get near that ESPN one with Mike Greenberg and Booger McFarland. Just nowhere. The second I saw those guys on there, I almost took a sledgehammer to my television. But anyway, so I'm watching the NFL Network broadcast. Daniel Jeremiah says, who's a guy I think is very smart, obviously very informed. Daniel Jeremiah says when the Falcons pick Pitts, he goes, penny for Aaron Rodgers' thoughts right now. Meaning, look at the Atlanta Falcons going for it, adding an offensive weapon with Matt Ryan towards the end of his career, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't get that type of stuff because they took Jordan Love last year. And I almost lost my mind. So Aaron Rodgers wants to be on the Atlanta Falcons, the biggest choke artists in football, the most underachieving group of losers in the NFC. He wants to be on that team? That's the team he wants to be on? Stop! You got the Green Bay Packers, who, by the way, could have the best wide receiver in football on that team. They're there every single year. They're a one seed, home field, NFC title. And you want to be on the Atlanta Falcons? You just fired their whole freaking staff and are always terrible in what started out last year 0-8? That's the model that he wants to be a part of because they took a tight end number 4 to help out Matt Ryan?
That's the point I'm talking about. That's the media that covers the NFL, and that's how they...
Kissing his ass.
Well, that's how they explain why Aaron Rodgers is upset, because Atlanta takes a guy like Kyle Pitts. Maybe the Giants take this Kadarius Toney. The Eagles trade up to go get Devonta Smith. You know, these are all the things that they compare the Packers to. But what they tend to forget is that the Packers have 4 all pros on offense.
He's got a great offensive line. He's got 2 tackles that are keeping him clean for I don't know how long. I mean, it's just, it blows my mind. It really does.
It is. It's really a suck fest. I don't know what else to tell you.
But Penny for Aaron Rodgers' thoughts. Right. I'm sick of hearing his thoughts.
Okay, Daniel, nobody cares. Yeah. Here's what we do care about. You know, I think the Jets really did a great job, and this is what you're supposed to do when you do have draft capital, and you move around the board, you go up and get guys that you want, and 2 out of the top 3 picks that Joe Douglas has now made as general manager of the New York Giants include the offensive line. So you got Mekhi Becton, and you got this kid out of USC who was supposed to be a mauler. And if you play him at left guard and you stand him next to Mekhi Becton, you got a left side that hopefully for the next 10 years is going to protect Zach Wilson. And that would be his blind side. And now you are strengthening your team, it looks like, at 6'5", 310-pound offensive lineman. To go with a 6'8", 360-pound offensive line.
What do you call that? So, the old bus crew? Is that what that is?
These guys are the first guys off the bus, man, when we land. Why? Because they're going to intimidate everybody when they get off the bus. So I kind of like what the Jets did. I give them an A+ because, you know, Zach Wilson is going to be a good player. I really do believe that. I think a lot of people feel that he has the attitude and the personality to make this thing work here in New York. I think he's stepping into a much more stable situation. And I like what Joe Douglas, you know, if you're a Jet fan, you're always screaming about the offensive line. And I know we sit here because Al Dukes has got to deal with all the fan base that calls in. And it's always about the offensive line, right, Al? So, you are taking care of your quarterback. You're doing the smart thing. And I would think now a lot of these picks that are going to come in the next day or two are going to be defensive picks. And they're going to try to find some guys that, are under the radar guys that can be a part of Rob Saleh's type of defense, the kind of defense that he's going to want to play, because it seems like, you know, the Jets are moving forward. The other thing I did, I love the pick for Pittsburgh, Najee Harris.
Did you?
I did.
I think it's terrible.
So I love that kid.
But why take a running back in the first round?
Because that kid's special. That's
okay.
Why.
Well, he better be Dalvin Cook. He better be Derrick Henry. He better be Christian McCaffrey.
He's going to be their
starter.
That's
fine. He should be their starter.
Right. They just added their starter.
Find these guys anywhere, though.
Well, some guys are a little bit better than others, and Najee Harris is a combo running back, much like Le'Veon Bell was. So I like that. Looks like Jimmy Garoppolo.
It was a second-round pick, I think, Le'Veon Bell, just to prove that
right,
you can find these guys out of the first round.
Well, that's okay, but these guys know what they're getting, and the fact that he's from Alabama, and he's just a great kid, too. If you listen to his interviews and everything, he's a great kid. I think he's going to be a great fit there. So.
Well, he's got to be great, but, I mean, I just think that team needed to move on. I don't think they have enough to compete in the AFC for a Super Bowl. They're loading up again to try to compete with Ben Roethlisberger, who is cooked. So to me, it's just you're putting a Band-Aid on a hole in the dam with that team.
Well,
but
I
that's
mean,
a different story.
Yeah, but you have this aging quarterback. You have to get people around him too. And you're trying to recreate the magic that they had about 5 or 6 years ago. No, I would say that Trey Lance going number 3 to San Francisco, a mild surprise. As we were talking about last night. But now I guess he's the guy that's going to sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is a starter, and that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan said. And they are going to use the Kansas City model.
Yeah, of course, which Jimmy Garoppolo can't be thrilled about because he knows that his time is limited there.
Man, so he's got a great team. Stay healthy. Take the team to the Super Bowl. You have every opportunity to do that and then go play somewhere else next year or – you know, maybe Trey Lance sits another year.
Yeah, maybe. And we've seen that before. I mean, obviously, if Aaron Rodgers comes back with the Green Bay Packers, you'll see that again with Jordan Love, a first-round quarterback who sits a couple of years. It does happen, but that does create an awkward situation. And one thing, here's a conspiracy theory I'm going to throw out there for you. So apparently the 49ers knew, this is what came out of the 49ers, that Trey Lance was going to be the guy ever since they traded up to number 3. Why did we not find out about this? Why were they so tight-lipped? Because probably the NFL went and told them, we already know that Trevor Lawrence is going 1. We already know that Zach Wilson is going 2. You can't suck the life out of this draft. You got to help us out here.
Or maybe they were still trying to make a trade for Aaron Rodgers. Who knows? I mean, I have no idea. But
I guess that could have been it.
But the one thing I will say about San Francisco, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, man, they are not afraid to make a move. And neither is Ryan Pace in Chicago. He's trying to save his job. They move up, and they go get Justin Fields, which was smart for them. They need a quarterback. They need somebody that the Bear fan can believe that, maybe this guy could be our long-term solution here. But, he's not going to be the starter when he gets there.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton will be the starter. He'll sit and then probably take over in the middle of the year somewhere because they'll see his arm strength and they'll see his ability to run with the ball. And they're going to go, we got to get this guy out of the field somehow.
Yeah, I think there were two GMs that were trying to erase their past disasters last night in a big way in the first round by trading up. One was the Chicago Bears with Trubisky and Deshaun Watson, that whole draft that was a mess for them. And the other was Howie Roseman. Now, Howie Roseman got roasted last year by taking Jalen Reagor, who was terrible, and then Justin Jefferson being on the board and breaking the rookie wide receiver yards record. And he knew that the Giants were in on Devontae Smith. I believe the Giants, if they did not have that happen to them where the Eagles traded up ahead of them, would have taken Devontae Smith. And Howie Roseman goes, I can't in my life now have Justin Jefferson doing what he's doing in Minnesota and then also now Devontae Smith with the Giants doing what he's going to do. I gotta get up there and do it. And they had to trade with the Cowboys, of all teams, who now, if Devontae Smith turns out to be the star in the NFL as he was in college, you're going to have to deal with him twice a year, every year, which is a bizarre thing. The two NFC East teams would make a trade like that.
You are 100% about both of those GMs. Here's the one thing I will say from the Giants' perspective. The Eagles made the Giants' decision easy.
Yeah, got to trade down now.
Right, because he's not going to be there with Devonta Smith. And, because if Devonta Smith were there and they didn't take him, the Giant fans would be screaming this morning.
Yeah.
And maybe they still will be screaming because it was the Eagles and the Cowboys that did this to the Giants. And the Cowboys got the linebacker that they wanted in Micah Parsons. I thought maybe the Giants would look at him too. But the fact that the Giants only had 6 draft picks in this draft, I think played a major factor in that decision-making. And the Eagles made the decision for the Giants. They drop back. They get a wide receiver who's a pretty damn good wide receiver himself. It'd be interesting to see which guy actually has the better rookie year, depending on the quarterback that Devonta Smith is going to be playing with, maybe his former teammate Jalen Hurts down there in Philadelphia. So I thought the Giants did the right thing. They adapted.
Yeah, first-round pick
moved,
next year, yeah.
And they got the Bears' first-round pick, which is probably, you got to believe, it's going to be a somewhere in the top 14 picks, right?
You would think. I don't think they're going to go to play. I mean, Justin Fields could end up starting over Andy Dalton and be great and elevate that team. That's a possibility, but as they're currently constituted, that to me is a 7-10 team. I got to get used to saying this now.
Or an 8-9
team. An 8-9 team. It's just so weird.
So the Giants did a good job. They picked up four picks.
And they got young Joker.
And they got young Joker. And they wanted a playmaker at wide receiver. At least that's what John Merrill was kind of alluding to all week long leading up to this draft. So now, to me, it was a good job by Dave Gettleman. Only time will tell whether these players turn out to be the players that we all think they are, but they needed more draft picks, and now they got more draft picks. And next year's draft will be a lot better scouted than this year's draft because hopefully we won't have any opt-outs, and these scouts and these coaches and these general managers can do their due diligence for the 2022 draft.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
What's up, Jerry? Good morning.
All right, guys. Good morning to you. How you be? As Steve Summers would say back in the day. First round of the NFL draft in the books. Thankfully done as they were in Cleveland last night. No surprise, Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, and Trey Lance does go to the 49ers. Some of the sound, so a couple of other things, too, of note. Pitts goes to the Falcons 4. The Jets did trade up to 14 to take this USC guard, Elijah Vera Tucker, and the Giants did trade down to pick the Florida wide receiver, Kadarius Toney. So some of the sound afterwards, here is Joe Douglas with his two picks, really likes what he did.
I feel like this ball club's improved. And I feel good about the two people and players that we brought in.
Yep. So very successful for them, at least on draft night, as you can imagine. Here was Wilson on NFL Network. This was right after he was picked, so you got the crowd and everything. How he feels he'll do in New York?
Just like every a new situation that comes up in my life, I'm gonna get everything I have. I'm gonna, you know, find a new brotherhood and be able to connect with those guys and get everything I have with them.
Now, I also thought it was interesting because remember last week we were talking about how Zach Wilson was making phone calls to find out what it was like or what it will be like if he plays with the Jets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the people he did speak to was Josh McCown, and he did offer the advice that he was given.
He said he loved living in Jersey and he loved the culture and he loved that, you know, the atmosphere and culture Joe Douglas was bringing in and some of the hires that he made. He just felt like that team was right there on the rise.
Oh, and now he is going to be in charge of that team that is
did
right
Josh
there.
Josh McCown tell him about the taxes or is we leaving that up to Boomer?
He didn't.
Leave that up to me, yeah.
Okay.
You can make that phone call. Absolutely. As for the Giants, we don't have a ton of sound for them, but we did hear from Chris Pettit, their director of scouting, talking about this kid, Toney, the wide receiver out of Florida.
That's young Joker to you, Jerry.
Young Joker.
Yeah, who's apparently, he's had some success as Young Joker.
I don't know what this means. What's Young Joker?
He's a rap artist. Name. He's a rapper. He's like a successful rapper named Young Joker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He's got a couple albums out.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Now, are these like Shaq-like albums where like Shaq was a rapper, but it didn't really go so well?
No, you're saying
like this guy's legit.
He's legit. Young Joker. Yeah, I mean, there's people out there that don't even know that Young Joker is Kadarius Toney. They just think Young Joker is Young Joker.
Is there anything we can play from him?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll see if we can find it, but I will say the pre-draft analysis says he's a dangerous slot receiver and return man and is best in space. Now, you're good in space.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good in space.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't we all good in space?
Yeah, short space quickness.
Short space quickness. Yeah, I heard that last night. Oh, my God. It's just unbelievable.
Wow. All right. Well, in his short space, here is Chris Pettit, their director of scouting.
He's a playmaker. He's an instinctive. He's tough. Makes a lot of plays with the ball in his hands.
No, we will see. A lot of the Giant receivers were tweeting about how excited they were. And one was, oh, my God, we got ballers on this team now.
So now we got ballers. You got John Ross as well. Don't forget about him.
There you go. So you got that. A couple of other notable things from night one. The Lions did take Penny Sewell. Patrick Surtain to the Broncos. Eagles did get Devontae Smith, as we know. Justin Fields to the Bears. And Mac Jones taken by the Patriots. Bill Belichick, though. He still has Cam Newton on this team, and he was very definitive.
Cam's our quarterback, yeah. Whatever position, whatever time.
Yeah. No.
Jared or Mac, you know, ready to challenge and compete, and we'll see how that goes.
So exciting, isn't he?
Yeah, the best thing on Twitter last night that I saw was the side-by-side of the classic Belichick walk out of the tunnel that's used all the time, and then the Mac Jones walk up to the podium.
Right.
They were both exactly the same. Like that Mac Jones walk was just, I was like, what? Why is he so, I've never really seen a kid walk like that. And that's because he was probably imitating Belichick.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tonight, rounds 2 and 3. One other piece of sound would be John Lynch, who did address the whole deal with Aaron Rodgers, those reports and rumors yesterday that we saw from ESPN and from Fox.
You're talking about, the MVP of our league last year. And, I don't know about you guys, but to me, when the MVP of the league might be available, and I didn't know that, I'm just reading the tea leaves just like everybody else and saying, hold on, is something going on here? Yeah, we inquired, and it was a quick into the conversation. It wasn't happening.
Packers say that they are not trading him.
All right, so he also says he's not coming back.
Yeah, so what happens? Yeah, what happens now?
And, of course, the Jeopardy jokes were flying online, as you can imagine. A lot of them are stupid, obviously, like his career's in jeopardy. The Packers' future is in jeopardy. But I did like the one, the guy created a photo that made it look like the Jeopardy box that said, this team really pissed off Aaron Rodgers. Ha ha, who are the Packers? So there you go. That was going around
I'm
as well.
I'm so sick and tired of hearing about it.
I know.
Honestly,
what did they do to him that was so bad?
It's a media concoction of stupidity, is what it is. It's like, oh,
is that
they
like
took
the wheel
Love,
of turds? So, the wheel concoction of stupidity.
Well, yeah, but it's like, oh, they took Jordan Love, so they pissed him off, and all he did was go out and have an MVP season and get him to the NFC Championship game with all those other all pros on offense, plus a rebuilt defense.
Right, of course. I mean, the roster is stacked. A lot of coaches would love to have that roster. He's complaining about it. There's just, he must be just a tough guy to be around because his family isn't even around him.
But he's true.
You have his buddy Pat McAfee does the podcast, and he goes on there. And Pat McAfee, when he's not on there, basically defends everything that Aaron Rodgers does and says how Green Bay screws him over. Meanwhile, one of the best rosters in football.
It's enough. But it's enough.
This
for
is why players play. And general managers general manage, scout, coaches coach. Everybody has to stay in their lane, and as Bill Belichick once said, do your job.
Yeah, and I know that there are guys that are paid more than Aaron Rodgers, and he's got the same salary as Jared Goff, but it's not like Aaron Rodgers is getting paid $10 million a year. He's still making $33.5 million per year the Green Bay Packers.
How much has he made for his career?
I mean, this is sort of like, you know how Jacob deGrom is the best pitcher in baseball and doesn't get paid like it, but you never hear a word?
That's who it is.
That's what's going on here, but Aaron Rodgers is in the pantheon of highest paid quarterbacks. Is even higher, I think, than what Jake is. But his average year number is pretty good, Jacob deGrom. But it's just like, the whole Aaron Rodgers is getting screwed. The Green Bay Packers don't know what they're doing. How do you piss off your superstar? I mean, maybe he's just like a bitch. Like, do you ever think about that? I mean, they had to. So all we heard about is, how they had to bring in a coach and they had to change him and they couldn't have McCarthy around because Aaron Rodgers would push everybody around. He's got a falling out with his family. He's got this whole thing where it's with Danica Patrick and now he's Shailene Woodley and the whole astrologer put them together and he wants to do Jeopardy. Maybe he's just a weird guy. It's not. Maybe the Green Bay Packers aren't at fault here and it's Aaron Rodgers. But everybody's got to kiss Aaron Rodgers' ass like he's the only quarterback who's ever played the game. I mean, when I think Aaron Rodgers, I think underachievement is what I think.
Really?
Yes. He's won one Super Bowl. It happened back in 2010. They've been the one seed. They've had home field advantage, and he loses all the time in the playoffs.
Yeah, so after this latest contract is over,
he'll have made $177 million. That's treated horribly. So that's up to 2023. So he has a potential out coming up. That's one of the reasons. Like, remember how we were talking about Russell Wilson early on, and he wanted to be traded, and he had the potential out? These guys all want new contracts.
All right, I understand, but to act like, you know, they've somehow wronged this guy is insane.
This year, his contract will be, he'll be, let's see, his cap hit this year is $37 million. And his dead cap hit is $38 million. So he's got $14 million in base salary. He's got an $11.5 million in a signing bonus. He's already gotten his $6.8 million roster bonus.
$68 million.
So looks like he's making about $31 million. Boy. He's also got a restructured bonus too.
They really treated.
What was that worth? $100 million?
Yeah.
Jesus. Nah, that's $2.8 million.
It's insulting.
There's a lot of
how the Packers treat this guy. Yes. Totally insulting. And they took a corner this year in the first round. How dare they try to improve the whole team to try to win?
Right.
God.
What did the Cardinals do? Because I'd like to know if. Kyle Murray had any impact on the Cardinals?
They took
draft.
The Tulsa linebacker, the guy who won the Nagurski Award.
They did,
yeah.
So then I guess Kyle Murray didn't have any say in or influence.
Maybe he wanted a better defense. Maybe that's what happened.
Never know. Rounds 2 and 3 coming up later tonight. Greg, do me a favor, just turn your mic off and distract Boomer for like 5 seconds if you can. Kyrie Irving didn't play last night for the Nets because of a sore groin, but Kevin Durant did, and the Nets wound up beating the Pacers.
Durant straight on three. Good for KD. He's got 27. And the Nets back up to a 21-point lead.
That is Chris Carino with the call here on The Fan. Durant shot 16 of 24, had 42 points, handed out 10 assists. Nets wound up winning 130-113, rather. They go to 43-20 on the season. Big night for Alize Johnson off the bench. 20 points, 21 rebounds. KD, a big fan.
I love everything about Alize, who he is as a person, his approach to the game, his work ethic, his story, his journey. Everything about him is just... No, I want to see him do well out there.
In the loss, former Net Caris LeVert did have 36 for Indiana. So Brooklyn leads Philly by a game and a half, first place in the East. Yes.
No, Jerry, we were waiting to do our draft show and then listening to the end of this game because we were on after the Nets
that's
game.
Right.
And in the post game, they played a Kyrie Irving liner that said, hey, it's Kyrie Irving. You're listening to Nets Basketball on the Fan, Sports Radio 101.9. And I thought, you know, great job by whoever was able to find Kyrie Irving to be able to record that. I don't know who that was that tracked him down and found him and then actually got him to do that. But whoever that guy is, hats off to you.
I don't know. Was he at the game last night or no?
You know, it's funny. When I watched, they showed James Harden a lot. I don't remember. I'm sure he might have been. I don't remember seeing him when I was watching, so I don't know.
I mean, because they can't say that he left the team for personal reasons again, right?
No, he had a groin. And like I said, he might have been there. I didn't see him, though. And I got to the game mid-first quarter. So, you know, when they do the introductions, usually they'll, because these guys don't play a lot, they'll show you when they're in street clothes.
Yes.
I saw Harden on a couple of occasions. I watched the entire second quarter and good parts of the third. I did not see him, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
But, yeah, I know he didn't play last night. So, but they're hopeful that that the groin will be healed in time for tonight so that he can play against the Blazers, which will be on the Fan. We'll have that. And meantime, the Sixers are home for Atlanta. The Knicks are still off there in Houston Sunday, as we know. Quickly, the Rockets beat the Bucks 143-136. Two things from this game. One, Giannis did start. He played 45 seconds, sprained his ankle, came out. And Kevin Porter Jr., he's 20 years old. Had 50 points in this game. I believe he is now the youngest player in NBA history to have a 50-point, 10-assist game, I think was the number I saw. So he was outstanding last night. His 50th point came from the free throw line as Houston beats Milwaukee.
Which is perfect for the Knicks, man. So the Rockets got that win out of the way, and now the Knicks roll in. And
just destroy them.
That'd be great. Perfect.
I don't think you're wrong about that. Just quickly, Yankees did beat the Orioles beat the Yankees in 10-4-3. Cedric Mullins, the game-winning sack fly in the 10th. Boy, he was a thorn in their side this series. Trey Mancini.
Yeah, why would you pitch to him? Why wouldn't you put him on Why wouldn't you put him on base?
I think everybody thought
situation.
The same thing, except Aaron Boone.
Yeah.
I would think load the bases.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
By the way, can we lay down a bunt?
Is that Tyler Wade?
Tyler Wade. I mean, that was horrific.
Tonight, the Yankees take on the Tigers. Gerrit Cole against Tarik Skubal. Pregame coverage on the fan after Carton and Roberts.
Was that a name or a burp? What was that? It
sounded like his name. Skubal.
But the way you said it.
Because I don't know if it's... here's why. First of all, I don't know if it's Tarik or Tarik.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's Skubal or Skubal.
So you just sort of plowed right through it.
Yeah, so you just kind of do it the way you do it and you move on. And I tried to get the pregame coverage and you stopped me.
Sorry, Jerry, continue.
Full game coverage on Sports Radio 66 WFAN AM. The Mets are in Philadelphia. Marcus Stroman and Chase Anderson, the starters there. Island, we don't have time, but the hell with it. We do have time. The Islanders beat the Rangers.
Faceoff win again for the Islanders. Mayfield with the feed, and Anthony Beauvillier scores.
That's the old Mike Bossy play, Brendan, only from the other side. Bossy was a right-hander.
Oh, yeah, the old Bossy.
Ding dong. Yeah.
Who is it?
Yep. The Islanders. Biatch.
Beat the Ravens.
The Rangers season's over now. It's over.
It's over.
No show.
Islanders won 4-0.
The best players got to show up, and they didn't show up. No show Rangers last night. Really pathetic.
Isles 4 points awful. Behind both Washington and Pittsburgh. Rangers 6 behind Boston, who beat the Sabres 5-2. And the Devils made it 2 in a row as they knocked off
Watch
the out. Flyers.
Hottest team in hockey.
They won 5-3.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Fast and furious as always. I will tell you, though, a lot of us were furious with the start of the draft with, get the Jaguars on the clock and then start moving. And when people are blaming the Jaguars, why are you taking a full time? You know who you were taking, Trevor Lawrence. That's not the Jaguars. That's the NFL making a TV show. That's what that is. The NFL probably has had that pick. They know it was Trevor Lawrence for God knows how long. They're making a TV show. They're putting all the highlights of Trevor Lawrence on. They got Roger Goodell up there. They got the Kings of Leon. It's a television show. Don't blame the Jaguars for taking all the time.
It's going to crush the Oscars in the ratings.
It will. Of course. It always does.
So, but that's exactly what it was. You saw those people in Cleveland. It was actually good to see it.
No, it was. They're booing Goodell.
Last year sucked.
Yeah.
But thank God the NFL actually did pull off the draft last year.
Sure.
And so now at least we had some semblance of normalcy.
Yeah, I know. But the reason why everybody watches is because they want to see who gets picked and where, and they love the NFL.
But you got to play the game.
It's
you
not
got,
the
you,
other
you know,
stuff.
You got all the ex-GMs telling everybody what these guys do in space and the short shuttle drill. And
I'm not talking about that.
Whether or not they could throw with power and finesse and accuracy and – they have a solid lower base. They got long arms, big hands. You know, they got good length.
That's right.
I mean, it's
off you got all platform the, throws.
Oh, it's just mind numbing.
Now, did you like or not like Zach Wilson dropping Super Bowl in his first interview on the NFL Network?
All right, so that's the swag the kid has.
Super Bowl.
He's got swag. There's no question about that. He looked great yesterday. I thought he dressed great. I thought his family looked great. They got a big bunch of hair in that family.
A lot of hair in the Trevor Lawrence family as well.
Yeah.
Lots of hair. Good for them.
But, yeah, they're all high-fiving. He was there. He looked great. He looked professional. I love the way he dressed and love what he said. So, here we go.
Yeah.
Now starts the Zach Wilson era here for the New York Jets, and hopefully it'll be better than most previous first-round picks for the Jets at this position.
You know, this is easy for me to say because Sam Darnold isn't here and his career went the way it went. And I was really positive about Sam Darnold and the Jets selected him. So I don't want to say that, you know, based on his personality, I knew it wasn't going to work out. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that there is a distinct difference between when Sam Darnold had a mic in front of his face and when Zach Wilson does. Zach Wilson, just the camera being on him.
There's confidence there. You can
see
it.
Now, I really don't want to be misconstrued here. It's very important to me. That doesn't mean that I think he's going to be great just based off of this interview. But I will say that it's palpable. You can feel that confidence when he's standing there.
Well, that's the point about meeting these kids.
Yeah.
And you have to see them and you have to hear them. And that's why this kid just what you saw last night was just a little snippet of what everybody else has been seeing for the last 3 months. And this is what got Joe Douglas's, excitement going about drafting him. They were happy that they got him. They certainly were happy that they got Vera Tucker as well.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson, nobody knows how it's going to work out. But as far as what the Jets did, they believe that they got their franchise quarterback who was going to have a rookie contract for a while so they could build the team around him. Joe Douglas used all the draft capital that he had to trade up and get the best guard in the draft after adding the best tackle in the draft last year. That is great. The Giants, who, I can't blame them for not trading up and making a deal to get Devontae Smith.
They didn't have the assets.
Because they only had six picks was what I was going to finish my sentence. But I think that they did get screwed there. And I think that sucks that the Eagles and Cowboys made that deal to screw them. But I'm excited about young Joka. And him adding to that offense. And
but I like the fact that, the Giants, as they were asking Dave Gettleman, and we talked about this, are you going to trade up? I would trade out and get more picks. And then he went through his whole dissertation of what has happened to him in the past.
Yeah.
And I think they were sitting there thinking that if Devonta Smith is going to be there, going to take him.
Yeah.
But if he's not going to be there and somebody's going to go up and get in front of us, now this gives us the absolute perfect excuse to trade out, get more picks, and on top of that, they get a first-round pick next year.
So which was
from
great.
The Bears, which, yep. I mean, I'm not saying that they fleeced the Bears, but the Bears needed to do something to get a quarterback, and they gave off four picks to the Giants, which is awesome.
Dave Gettleman, for all the criticism that Giants fans want to throw his way, last night took advantage of a desperate general manager. That's what he did. And he got also, as much as he could.
And he also got a break. Now, some would tell you the break would be had Devonta Smith fell to them. Mm. That would be the ultimate break.
And he was going to.
But it looked like that. But Howie Roseman kind of, in a way, did him a favor by allowing him to trade back, because now the Giant fan is not going to be ticked off that they didn't get Devonta Smith because they passed on Devonta Smith.
Well, they weren't, but we know they weren't going to. If he was there, if the Cowboys stayed there at 10 and selected Micah Parsons without trading with the Eagles, and the Giants had 11 and Devonta Smith was available, then they would have taken him.
I kind of feel like both general managers were nimble last night.
A little nimble on their feet.
They were moving around. They were checking things out.
Sure.
Things happened for them, broke one way, so they reacted a certain way, and there's nothing wrong with what either one of them did.
Chris in Farmingdale. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, Gio? Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Just had a couple of points to make out to Gio. He's hating on the Steelers for the Najee Harris pick. Last year, James Conner averaged, 4.3 yards per carry. The rest of the Steelers running backs averaged 3 yards per carry. The problem was James Conner was never on the field, so he was always hurt. So now you have an immediate upgrade over James Conner, and I think Pro Football Focus had Maurkice Pouncey each of the last 2 years ranked the 35th best starting center in football. And the last time I checked, there was only 32 teams. So I see that as addition by subtraction. They're going to get a tackle here in day two, and I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted a center as well. And let's get the ball rolling.
Yeah, listen, you're a Steelers fan. You're excited about your team, and you got a guy that on a team that won a national championship, and that's great. But from my perspective, I see a team that needed to move on from their quarterback. I think that they are patching things up.
They have Haskins, and they just signed Mason Rudolph to an extension.
But I know, to me, it was over with Ben. This is just the way I feel. This is just the way I feel about it. And we've had arguments about this. And to me, the position where you can find diamonds in the rough more than anywhere else in the draft is at running back.
Do you? Did Gina like the pick?
She was long asleep by the time the Steelers picked. She is, but staying up to watch the NFL draft, which you could wake up and look at her phone and then find out who this person was for the first time in her life.
How did Louise feel about it?
They should never take a running back in the first round. Everybody knows that. Can find these guys in the fourth, special, in the third.
Yeah, okay, he's special. I mean, fine, but they have...
And that's who they are, too, by the way. There's the other thing, too.
Who they are right now is a team that got their ass kicked by the Cleveland Browns in the postseason. And adding a running back is not going to help it. That's who they are right now.
Their season got turned upside down with injuries on their defense. Losing Bud Dupree was huge. And then they lost the other linebacker, Devin Bush. I mean, they're going to be a good team. They will be a good team.
This is where I think
they could be a 10-7 team.
10-7, right. Or maybe an 11-6. So this is just, and I don't want to get in another argument about this because we're on different pages with it with Ben. I just look at a franchise that needed to. There's too many good teams in the AFC right now. They're not going to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. They needed to not, like, let's bring Juju back on a one-year deal. Let's take a first-round running back. You know, let's try to jumpstart, you know, put the jumper cables on Ben Roethlisberger's nipples and try to get another good year out of him. It's over. I'm sorry. So that's just the way I feel about that team. And by the way, you know, Bud Dupree, he was injured last year. He's gone now because he signed a free agency. Yeah. He's a member of the Tennessee Titans. So we'll see how it works out. All the best to them. It's good when the Steelers are good for me because it makes my life easier and better because the people around me are happier, so I do root for their success.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.